This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
That whole debt ceiling fight is about to heat up real quick. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. Republican lawmakers and the White House are nowhere close to a deal over raising the country's debt ceiling. They have less than a month to figure it out. In a letter to congressional leaders, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the federal government could run out of cash to meet its financial obligations as early as June 1st. By Washington standards, that is not a lot of time to avert what would be the country's first ever default on its debt. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Republican lawmakers are nowhere close to a deal with the White House. They are insisting on cuts to federal spending in return for increasing the government's borrowing authority. Democrats say meeting the country's financial obligations is not negotiable. There was some wishful thinking that negotiations between the two sides could go on through much of the summer, but recent federal tax receipts have been less than expected, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen now says the new deadline is just weeks away. In her latest letter to Congress, she also outlined a new step. The Treasury Department is pausing issuing certain types of securities which help local and state governments deal with their finances. That pause could impose additional costs, especially for smaller local government entities. President Biden invited congressional leaders to the White House on May 9th to discuss the debt ceiling impasse. The stakes are high. Economists predict a U.S. debt default could cause a global financial crisis. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
J.P. Morgan Chase now owns First Republic Bank. It bought the failed bank from the FDIC, which had seized it over the weekend. As the new owner of First Republic, J.P. Morgan is now responsible for $91 billion in customer deposits, along with $173 billion in loans. A lot of those loans are what are called jumbo mortgages, basically mortgages for really expensive homes bought by First Republic's affluent clients. So what's going to happen to those clients and their loans? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
At a former First Republic branch in Portland, Oregon yesterday, depositors could access their money just like usual, only now as customers of J.P. Morgan. But for borrowers with mortgages from First Republic,
it's probably not as seamless as that.
Guy Sakala at Inside Mortgage Finance says J.P. Morgan has a whole lot of paperwork to do, notifying borrowers it'll be servicing their mortgages and getting their monthly payments.
Frankly, there are always hiccups. Somebody forgets or they have automatic payment, so it's not as clean as just going to the bank and saying, great, my deposits are still here.
Now, mortgages are contracts, so J.P. Morgan can't arbitrarily hike the interest on a fixed-rate loan, for instance. Many of the jumbo home loans are well underwritten with big down payments, so Sakala says they aren't particularly risky. But Mike Mayo at Wells Fargo Securities says it's not the mortgages J.P. Morgan really wants.
The acquisition is really about the customers that they're getting for wealth management and other needs.
The FDIC says for now, anyone with a First Republic loan should keep sending their payments in as usual until notified otherwise. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
For all you candy lovers, some sour news. The price of key ingredients, sugar and cocoa, are at their highest levels in about a decade, thanks to inflation and smaller crop yields, and manufacturers of sweets are struggling to cope. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson recently returned from the world's biggest confectionery and snack trade show, ISM, in Cologne, Germany, and she filed this report for us.
Confectionery companies are paying much more for the two main ingredients in most candy, cocoa and sugar. Manufacturing costs have all gone up. Bill Gow is the finance director of Scottish company Thomas Tunnock Limited, which makes 14 million items a week, like snowballs and caramel wafers.
There's been a significant increase in all raw materials, an unprecedented level that, you know, I don't think anybody in our generation of business has seen.
The challenge is how to reduce costs but keep customers, especially when most of them are kids. Hayley Perrone is from Candy Dynamics in Indianapolis.
We want it to be affordable for kids. We want them to be able to not spend all of their allowance on our candy. We've increased prices, but it's been a very, very small amount.
So have they considered making the pack smaller?
We actually have started to do that, especially in the UK. There's been a big request for smaller pack sizes, and it's at a lower price point.
At the premium end of the market, it's a different story. The Swiss chocolatier Goldken is most famous for its chocolate gold bullion bars and Jack Daniel's liqueur chocolates. Linda Gay, the company's export manager, says they had no choice but
to increase our prices, but they are ready to pay a bit more in order to get the product. For the packaging, we try to group, okay, maybe to do bigger volume at the same time, then you can get smaller price.
But other companies are reluctant to change their product. Bill Gow, the finance director of Scottish company Thomas Tunnock Limited, is one of them.
We would never reduce the pack sizes. We would never reduce the quality of the products in any shape or form.
He says that although his raw material costs have increased by 40% in the last year, only a small proportion of that has been passed on to consumers. But with inflation remaining high and little sign of sugar and cocoa prices coming down anytime soon, companies are going to have to work hard to find solutions that satisfy them and the sweet tooth of their customers. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Our producers are James Graham, Ollie Dalbert-Hansen, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.